Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Mark and Sarah talk about songs.
We absolutely do talk about songs. This season, we're talking about Weird Al songs. I am your co-host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am here with non-Beverly, non-Hillbilly, Mark Blankenship. Hello, Mark.
Well, maybe a little bit of a hillbilly. We'll see. Hello, Sarah. Now, on this week's general population installment of our Weird Al versus Everybody season, we have, in the originals corner, Dire Straits' chart-topping early 80s hit, Money for Nothing. And in the parody corner, we have Beverly Hillbillies, which is Weird Al's twisting of the Beverly Hillbillies theme song to fit the syllabic needs of the Dire Straits song. And also, Sarah, this is our first official time to be able to bring up the movie UHF.
Yeah. Which the Money for Nothing / Beverly Hillbillies, which I think for legal reasons, Weird Al was required to name his version of the song, it's pretty short, and it's a dream sequence from UHF where George Newman, the Weird Al character, falls asleep in front of a Hillbillies rerun. And this happens, same groundbreaking for the time, hilarious now, animation from the Dire Straits video, and the rotoscoping of the band's performance. I spent a lot of time reading about how Mark Knopfler was being a Don Henley-esque pill about doing a video at all.
Right.
For this, and also for the use of the F word, and how he had to explain almost every day that he was alive that he was writing from the standpoint of a character who was an Archie Bunker type, and that this is the, like, that's the point of it, is that you're supposed to snap your head back. And so, yeah, this was like a weird one. This was a weird one to prepare, not least because I really like this album, but this is like one of my lesser loved tracks from it, because it was just fucking everywhere for like a year and a half because of the video. Mark, what has been your experience with the original song?
Isn't this the album that has the song Walk of Life on it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's like such a better song, I think.
Yeah, and Brothers in Arms and Romeo and Juliet. Like, I mean, Brothers in Arms is getting to be a little overused now, but the people who know, they know, and you don't see it too often or hear it too often. So that's exciting to hear.
And then, of course, there's the Indigo Girls cover of Romeo and Juliet, which is just so good.
Yeah. I actually prefer that one to the original, although I like the original, but there's a lot of, get God noodling. And I have always gotten the feeling that Mark Knopfler was like, well, I'm better than that. Like that Don Henley attitude that's like, je suis un musicien. Like, okay. Like, I'm sorry that you came to prominence in the video era when you have a face like a thumb, but that's how it goes sometimes. Ask Greg Kinn. We already talked about this season. Anyway.
Sie können mir nicht verstehen.
What was your experience with any of this, like when it originally came out?
I just basically was just old enough to be watching MTV and was entranced by the video. I can picture for the rest of my life the skinnier of the two blue-collar workers popping up and mouthing the Sting line, mm-hmm. and then popping down behind his buddy again. I mean, clearly, I think they're also supposed to be referencing the Honeymooners, those two.
Right.
But the Art Carney one just singing along, I will never forget it.
Yeah. And the dog, the computer dog who doesn't understand what's happening. Why don't we hear a clip?
Why don't we?
No, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a pistol.
mean, it's still a good song.
Yeah, it is. It's like, it is a good song. It has a great riff. It's got that melody of that pre-chorus there about the, we've got to install microwave ovens. Mm-hmm. I clipped it specifically because I think it's very pretty, actually.
Yeah.
And look, as a homosexual, I know you're shocked to hear me say it out loud at last. I will now speak for all of my people when I say that hearing the F word in that, you know, that F word in this song, it's jarring. But of course, it's obvious if you really listen that Mark Knopfler is not asking us to agree with the person who is saying
right.
it. We are indeed supposed to be shocked by it. And I think that's a perfectly valid artistic choice to make. And, you know, Mark Knopfler isn't the one who decided this would become a number one hit that he would never get to hear the end of. He was just trying to make a statement. Like
right.
Bruce Springsteen was trying to make Born in the USA be about disillusionment, not jingoism. And then he just will have to explain that for the rest of his life as well.
Yeah. Like there's just some things that, like, once you've made it and put it out into the world, you can't always control what people are going to do with it or to you using it. So.
And I guess my ultimate verdict on Money for Nothing is that at the end of the day, this is a song I will always hear because I do occasionally go to sporting events and the like. And it's always going to be okay that this song is playing in the background or that Walk of Life is playing in the background. You know, like Dire Straits just makes music that's perfectly pleasant to hear in public spaces. And not everyone can do that.
Yeah. And Knopfler is a legit, like, people who actually make music and play guitar and care about this stuff think that Knopfler is the shit and that we should all take a big whiff, which I am comfortable with. He did a project with Emmylou Harris, I think.
He did. Yes, like all the road running, all this road running, something like that.
Yeah, I think it was on our... I think it was like something that we contemplated briefly in the Grammy season, right? Or no, I'm thinking of Robert Plant. No,
that's the Alison Krauss and Robert Plant song,
right.
But honestly, interchangeable.
Yeah. But I mean, I think Knopfler Harris was better, but that's just me being a secondary nerd based on my brother's recommendations for things, which is fine. That's how I found La Montaigne, so it's fine. But this is like... It's one of those essential mid-80s references that as a song is less essential than it is as a reference. So,
just like Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel.
God, yes. So many better Peter Gabriel songs, but, and like a lot of it is the video. And then
yep.
That's also true of the Weird Al version, which is a lot shorter. I'll give it that.
I will say, so before we move over to the Weird Al version, I do feel like it's important to read this comment from our patron, Jeff, or Jeff Z, just so you know, Jeff, that I'm speaking of you. He wrote, I'm clearly swimming against the tide on this one, but I like Beverly Hillbillies better than Money for Nothing. Money for Nothing has a couple of monster riffs in the intro and an iconic music video, but even the radio edit that cuts out 4.5 minutes is too long for a song with only one idea. Beverly Hillbillies parodies Money for Nothing and The Ballad of Jed Clampett, does it in a tight 3 minutes and 11 seconds, and gives you those riffs without any F slurs. Regardless of intent, that always takes me out of the Dire Straits song. So, a fair argument, I think.
Yeah, that is fair. And it's what I was just saying. Like, I think for a lot of people, the song, qua song, is not the point. And
right.
I mean, I'm not sure how against the tide he's actually swimming, but before I reveal my vote, shall we hear a clip of the Weird Al version?
Yes, let's.
Old Jed was shooting at some food when all of a sudden right up from the ground there, well, it came a bubbling crew. Oh, that is, well, maybe you call it black gold, the Texas tea.
I mean, I wasn't sure what to do after listening to both of these. And then I was like, it's close enough for me that I'm giving my vote to Weird Al, because I think it's the same. I think the cleverness is underrated because it's about the Beverly Hillbillies. Like, the degree of difficulty might be underrated. And I think that it's a really clever. I think the video, the visuals in Weird Al's version of the video are very clever. I just don't think that Money for Nothing is essential enough to me as a song that to talk me out of sort of respecting Weird Al's version more. And I mean, I'm with Jeff C. Get it done under 3.5, dude. Come on.
Sidebar, Beverly Hillbillies, another show that traffics in those now outdated stereotypes that we were talking about in the lasagna episode.
Which was a it was like a whole subgenre of television for like 15 years. From Green Acres to Dukes of Hazzard and beyond.
To Petticoat Junction.
Yep.
Lots of Southern yokel shows. And if you think about it, Green Acres is the inverse of Beverly Hillbillies. Anyway, how deep? My parents love Beverly Hillbillies, though, so you know.
I've never seen a frame of it, and that is just fine. Like, all I know of it is from this song, and I'm content to leave it there.
I've seen many, many episodes of it because Southern people really like that show, because at the end of the day, the Beverly Hillbillies characters were always the foxiest ones in terms of their intelligence and maybe their sex appeal, but they were always like able to get things done in a way that the city folk never could. So that made the people I grew up around like that show. Anyway, this song to me, perhaps I am underrating its level of difficulty, Sarah, but I find it to be kind of lazy because it's just like, okay, you're just singing the lyrics from the Beverly Hillbillies theme to a different tune. I mean, I guess it took some work to make sure that they scanned correctly in the new context, but to me, bleh, not that interesting. I would always choose the Dire Straits song over this, because at this point, I'm holding Weird Al to the standard of King of Suede or Like a Surgeon.
Right.
So for me, it was a vote for Dire Straits, and it also was a vote for the patrons for Dire Straits. So the field takes it in this episode.
That's totally fair and not surprising. I think I may have been more impressed than others at how the satire, or not the object of the satire, but the that Weird Al is using the Beverly Hillbillies, which we've just been talking about, is like the cultural image of the so-called hick or hillbilly. And then that's in conversation with the original, which is talking about the cultural perception of the rock star or pop star. And that both are being underestimated and dismissed, possibly to an offensive degree. So I just thought that conversation was interesting. It may have not been entirely intentional. So I may be oversubscribing that, and it may not have been worth my vote, but it doesn't matter anyway, and that's why they play the games.
I think that you just made a really interesting point, though. I like that read on the conversation between the two songs. I mean, even if that wasn't what was intended, it's still there. It's still present. Right. So, hey, criticism. Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
we've been doing this for a minute.
It's true.
Next and I've been bullshitting forever.
Next time we have a pairing that I'm pretty excited to talk about. For our patrons only episode in this week, we will be discussing Miley Cyrus's Party in the USA and Weird Al's Party in the CIA. And the only way you can hear it is if you are a patron of this podcast. So come join us, patreon.com/mastis. You can be a patron at any level that includes as low as $3, and you will hear this patrons only episode and all of the other patrons only episodes from this season and all prior iterations of the show. We would love to have you there. There is so much going on. There's so much to enjoy, including reams and reams and reams of extra content. And I really do have a lot to say about the Miley Cyrus song. So We will look forward to being with you again very soon. Have an excellent time wherever your hillbilly heart shall take you.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.